means benevolent, merciful, humane being. Benevolent, merciful, humane being. That which contributes to or diminishes from or removes pain or causes to increase happiness or advantage, opposed to evil or misery. I'm going to read that again. Some of you didn't get it. That which contributes to, that's what good is. That good God, that good person. That which contributes or diminishes or removes pain or causes to increase happiness or advantage. Opposed to evil, which would be the opposite, or misery, which would be the opposite of good. You still with me? And we preached that last week. So today, I want to show you a story about the fear of God. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you won't get saved till you fear God. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. I know that. We preached on that last week. But what made you see the goodness of God? What made you recognize that God is good? Well, the way you do it is you realize that you're not right with God. And so you begin to fear God. But then when you weigh that out with how good God's been to you, then your fear will drive you to repentance, which will let you see the goodness of God and experience it. Look at this story in Numbers 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made the end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, it opened up, that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah, in other words, his family line, his cousins, his all that, and all their goods, they and all that appertain to them went down alive into the pit. That's hell. And the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. And then look what happened. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. March 5th, 1978, I fled away from the crowd that was perishing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I feared God that day. I feared God. Father, bless the reading of your word today. Use this unworthy vessel. Oh, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee, Lord? There's some folks that's forgotten how to fear God. Oh, they know God's good, but they've forgotten how they recognize that he's good. So renew our fear as well as our recognition of his goodness. And there might be one here today that fears God but doesn't know what to do about it. I pray you'd help them, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Most folks only see one side of God. Any sinner in town will look at the sunrise tomorrow and say, God's good. Any sinner in town, if they took a breath and realized where it came from, they'd say, God's good. I don't worry about global warming or all this junk. But the sun will come up tomorrow just like it did today. That's God's promise. It'll go down just like God promised. The rain will come just like God promised. Y'all still with me? Because God's good. God keeps his word. He keeps his holy word. But some only see that God is good. So therefore, they don't fear God, so they don't fear sin or death or hell. But then there's that other crowd that's all they do is fear the judgment of God. They only see his sovereignty. They only see that he's in all power and all control, and that's all they see. So therefore, they don't see that God is good. Matter of fact, some of them will tell you, if God's good, why did he do this to me? Another might say, well, if God is good, why did I lose my baby? Well, if God is good, why did my husband or my wife run off and leave me? So they see the sovereignty of God, and they believe that God's in everything. His plan works out to his will and his glory. They see that, but they don't understand that he's good. So we got two crowds. One crowd overdoes his goodness, and the other crowd overdoes his sovereignty. Some preachers, all they ever do is preach on hell. Well, I preached on hell the other week. And then some preachers, all they do is preach on the love of God. But there's a balance all through the Scriptures. And he said, go neither to the right hand nor the left. And so today, we need to realize that God is good. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I've got a lot of verses. I'm not going to wait on you. Write them down if you have to. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God's good because of his mercy. Would you say amen? God's good because of his love. God is good because of his grace. God is good because of his long suffering toward sinners, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is good. Amen. All right, now turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, if you will, verse 29. Now, I know already I'm marked, and I can't wait because you'll say the preacher made my dinner get cold. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Wouldn't you think that that would be a God to be feared? Wouldn't you think that's a God that you wouldn't want to stand before if you wasn't right with him? He's a consuming fire. The holiness of God, nobody can stand, no human being can stand in the presence of God without the blood of Jesus Christ covering him, because we would burn up and die and go to hell. Because God is to be feared. Now, think about Genesis chapter 6. God destroyed every living thing on planet earth except his goodness saved some of it to put on that ark, because one man he saw right with God, he saved his family, he saved all the different things, you know, the animals and all that stuff. And look at the severity of God when you look at Genesis chapter 6 and a worldwide flood and the story of Noah. And you think that you shouldn't fear God when he destroyed over 6 billion people? 6 billion people, just like it is today. And it's about to get back to that point again. And look, he had to repopulate the earth because God looked on the heart of man and he saw nothing but wickedness. And he said, I'm sorry I ever made man. Noah, build me a boat, you and your family, get on it. I'm going to send these animals. You ain't got to hunt them. I'll put you on the boat and I'll save you and your family. But the rest of them are going to drown. The rest of them. And the Bible says that Noah preached for over 100 years. He preached righteousness. He preached the flood was coming. And they mocked him and made fun of him and laughed at him because they said, if there's a God in heaven, he wouldn't do no such thing as that. Well, I got news for you. God's a consuming fire. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. From what I've read, there's about 2 million people. Two cities got so big, they grew together, kind of like Charlotte, Fort Mill, Harrisburg, Stanley, all of them growing together. About 2 million people. And they had turned themselves over to the flesh and the lust of the flesh. And I don't care what you think about LGBT, they had those flags flying all through that place. And they turned against God's plan and God's way to procreate, one man, one woman, children if he saw fit. And they turned against that and they perverted the word of God and they went against the word of God. And there was one man in that town that was still halfway right with God, old Lot. And God had to drag him out, and his two daughters had to drag him out so he could destroy those 2 million people. And he rained fire and brimstone down on it. And if you read geography, the Dead Sea now sits where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and it burned up, and his wife turned to a pillar of salt because she was so worldly she didn't want to leave and look back. And now there's a salt sea laying on top of that place. Nothing can grow there. It's cursed. That would tell me to fear God. I tell you what, look at Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, there was two young men who were in the priesthood, Nadab and Abihu, and they were in the lineage of Aaron, the high priest, and yet they rebelled against God. They were in the priesthood. They knew all about God, and they offered strange fire to the Lord. They got out of their position. It wasn't their job to do that. But they thought, their old pride, They thought they were good as any other person, and so they tried to take Aaron's place and go in there and offer strange fire, and God killed them. God killed them. That's a God to be feared. Amen. Fire went out from the Lord, it says in verse 2, and killed them, burned them up. How about Korah in Numbers 16 we just read? Korah and some other guys got together, and they said, we're just smart as Moses. And who put him in charge? Who does he think he is? Well, if you read anything about Moses, you'll read that he was a humble man. He never tried to overrule people and all that. Y'all still listening? And they attacked him because they thought they ought to have that position, and they led a revolt against what God had set up. And by the way, watch out, you're trying to break up churches or run against ministries. Listen, they led a revolt against what God had set up and thought they had a new and better way. And you know what happened? The earth opened it up and swallowed all of his immediate family, his wife, his children, and then on down his nephews and his nieces and his cousins and first cousins, because they were all with him. And the earth opened them up, and it says they went down into the pit. That's hell. Immediately, and the earth closed back up. That sounds like God to be feared to me, doesn't it, you? How about Acts chapter 16? Get over into church age. Ananias and Sapphira. Y'all know that story. Boy, they thought they was somebody in the church. They thought they was somebody. Like I said, a little old widow, she offered her widow's mite, you know, and some other guy might have had 3 cents instead of 2 cents, and he offered that. And Ananias and Sapphira, they were people of means. They had some property. And they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Him and her made up a little story they weren't going to tell the church. They thought God wouldn't notice it and said, we're going to sell it all, but we're only giving half of it. But we'll tell the church we're so good, we sold everything, we've given it all to the Lord. And they went in, and God done told Peter. And Peter said, you lie, her husband first. Said, you lying hypocrite, I want you to look at these ushers' feet that's fixing to drag you out dead. And he dropped dead. They drug him out. His wife come in a little bit later, didn't even know he'd made such a grand announcement of what all they had done and how great they were, you know. And God said, I want you to look at the same feet of the men that carried your husband out, because they fixed to carry you out too. And she dropped dead, and they carried her out. Now, that sounds like God to be feared to me, amen. How about the book of Revelation? You ever heard of it? You ought to read that. Amen. You think God's not to be feared? My goodness, you've just never read the Bible. That's the problem. God is good. Amen. God's wonderful and benevolent, long-suffering, and loving. But God is to be feared. You want to know what's wrong with the family in America today? Nobody's feared. The parents are not in charge. The kids are. Amen. If I'd looked at my mama and said things that I hear kids saying now, she'd have knocked my block off. Little old 90-pound woman, she said, go get me a switch. If I said no, she'd say, okay, I'll just use that metal-handed fly swatter on you. She'd do it. They put her in jail now. There'd be a 90-pound old lady sitting up in jail because she whipped her children. Amen. Hey, listen to me. That's the problem. Rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And the penalty for witchcraft is death. Amen. Y'all still listening? Hey, now, let me tell you something. God is to be feared. Now, turn to Psalm 33, verse 12. I'm going fast because y'all don't listen real fast. Psalm 33, verse 12. Look at this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, did you know that God is to be feared by the nations? He's good to the nations. But, hey, he's good to this nation. Now, some of our young people are being taught in school. They've been taught in school that this nation was founded wrong, and it's been wrong ever since. And they accuse us of everything from scalping little Indian babies the hanging little black babies. Yeah, they accuse us of everything. And they've taught them wrong. There have been some bad things in our country, but anywhere you get human beings together, sinners, there's going to be bad things. But the majority of the history of this country is a God-given place. There's never been another country like America. Never, never. And God's, my wife or somebody asked me the other day, why did God save this land all these years? We stand down there on that creek in the Virginia mountains. And said, why would God save all of this and all these years? I said, He saved it for us so that we could get here, get saved, and put the gospel out to the rest of the world. Amen. Yeah. Well, what about them people that's already here? There wasn't a handful of them. And if they wanted to do it, they got in on it too. A lot of Native Americans got saved and got in on preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel. Amen? Yeah. It ain't all bad. It ain't. And blessed is the nation who fears God. And this was founded, this nation was founded on the fear of God. Every time a new settlers came over on a boat, they get off that boat, and the first thing they do is get down on that beach and say, thank God that you let us get here, and now we can serve you in spirit and truth. We don't have a government to interfere us. Boy, we've come a long way against that, haven't we? Amen, amen. God's good to the nations that fear Him. But let me tell you something. Psalm 9:17. Look at it with me. I'm getting ahead of myself. In verse 17, he says this: the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that do what? Forget God. Now, God's good to nations that fear Him, but God destroys nations that forget Him. You say, give me an example. Okay, I'll give you lots of them. Over and over and over, he punished the children of Israel because they rebelled against Him, and He'd punish them and they'd come back. He'd punish them and they'd come back. He'd punish them. You say, well, give me a different one. Okay, every nation that's ever went against Israel has been destroyed. Yeah. Look at Germany. Used to be the mightiest country in the world. Could have taken over the world if it hadn't been for this country. Yeah. If that had been for this country, Germany would have took over the world. Now, but where's it at now? It ain't nothing. We have to keep an army there to protect them. Amen? Look at the Muslim countries. Every one of them's had the gospel, and the first churches started in Syria and Egypt. The biggest church in the world was at one time in Alexandria, Egypt. The first Bible college was in Alexandria, Egypt. And now look at them. They're a mess. You want to know why they're a mess? Bad planet? Nope. Bad economy? Nope. They went against God. They rejected God, and God rejected them. You better fear God. Amen. And I'm not talking about the old man upstairs. Get that picture out of your head. He's a consuming fire. To stand in front of Him, you'll perish without the blood of Jesus Christ. He's a consuming fire. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Am I going too fast? Hebrews chapter 10. I got a lot to say. I never got enough time. Look at verse 26. Now, God's good to the saint that fears Him. Amen? We already established that. God's good to those that fear Him. Would you say amen? Amen. All right, but let me show you that He ought to be feared by the saints who disobey Him. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin, now the Hebrews is written to the Hebrew Christians. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. In other words, you claim to believe this. You received the knowledge of the truth. There remains no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus finished the sacrificial system. He's the only thing that'll forgive you, get your forgiveness of sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. You go against God, you're going to go against something. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God. In other words, the follower of Moses had the law of God, which pointed to the Son of God, which they'd never met. And by faith, they had to believe on a Savior coming that the law represented. But now, he says, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Those of us who know Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You see that? and hath counted the blood of his covenant, that agreement, that testament, that contract, wherewith he was sanctified, in other words, he was set apart, an unholy thing. If you count it unholy, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace, you resist the Holy Spirit. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. What's the famous saying today? Can't judge me. Can't judge me. Can't judge me. Well, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot bigger judge than I'm coming. He's coming. Listen, he's already judged. Then look at verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In other words, die unprepared and fall into the hands of God. Listen, and it's a fearful thing. Now, that'll draw you to be saved, if you'll admit that. If you'll admit that. Now, I knew before I was saved, I did not know one Bible verse. I did not know any kind of Bible. I did not know any hymns. I didn't know anything about church. Wasn't raised in church. Been to church two or three times before I heard the gospel at 21 years old. And then I only went about five times before I ever got saved. But I knew if there was a God in heaven and God was right, there's a lot of things wrong with me. Amen. Yeah. I knew, and by the way, that's why you don't like to go to church. I'd say, I don't like music down there. No, that wasn't the reason. I was lying. Don't, y'all getting quiet on me now. Well, I just don't like the way they do things. No, that wasn't the reason. The reason was, I was not right with God, and I knew if there was a real God in heaven, and if he judged sin, I was in trouble. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But when I look up at the sky, I think, boy, if there's a God up there that created all this, I'm going to die and go to hell. Now, you don't have to know the whole Bible to know when you sin. You know when you sin. Your conscience tells you when you sin. And look, you have to defile your conscience to quit worrying about it. You have to call right wrong and wrong right. But I'm telling you, after you know the truth, it's even worse than before you knew the truth. You'd be better off to die and go to hell, never hearing the gospel, living in some deep, dark jungle, some cave somewhere. You'd be better off never to hear the gospel and stand before a holy God who's going to judge you according to what you did know. Now, you still won't get to go to heaven. There's one man appointed that'll get you there. But you'd be better off to be like that than to know somebody that went to church over and over and over and over and over, and they heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth, and they rejected it and rejected it. You know what he's calling that? Trodding under, stamping under the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you remember or not, but when our troops defeated Iraq, yeah, they did. And liberal politicians then turned it back over to the Muslims. But anyway, we defeated them. And those Muslims, those Iraqis, went into the Capitol Square. There's a big statue of Saddam Hussein. Some of y'all going to remember this. And they threw ropes around it like cowboys and pulled that thing down. Y'all remember that? And then they took their shoes off. And they beat it. Y'all remember that? You remember that? You know why? In the Middle East and the Near East and the Middle East, tromping on something with your shoe is a sign of utter disdain. That those people aren't even worthy to be under your feet. That's what they were saying when they did that. And when we hear the gospel and we realize who God is, he's a God of love and benevolence and long-suffering and goodness and mercy, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we hear that, and we say, God's good. Amen? But then we turn right around, and he says, I sent my son so you could be saved because you're going to perish. And you're going to die and go to hell because somebody's got to pay for sin. You can't come up here with sin. God can't be in the presence of sin. So he sent his son to die in our place. And whenever you hear that and then you reject it, it's like those Iraqis taking their shoe off and beating on that statue with the bottom of their shoe saying, this man wasn't worth the dirt that's on the bottom of my shoe. You do the same thing with the word of God. You say, not true, it's not worth worrying over, and I'm just going to trample it underfoot, and then here's what's going to happen. You're going to find out that God is a fiery judge. Now, it may not be today. It may not be. He's long-suffering. You might live to be 99 years old. My mama did, 99 and a half. She knew the Lord. But you may live to be 100. I don't know. But if you keep rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ, the judgment of God eventually is going to fall on you. That falls in different ways. As a child of God, if you turn against the blood of Christ and you live any old way you want to and you reject the things that you know is right, and go to the things that's wrong. Hebrews chapter 12 said God chastens his children. God chastens. Now some of us been through chastening. I have. If you've been saved very long at all, the Lord's took you to the woodshed. He'll put you down your face. You go ahead and keep putting your nose up there, you know, and going on like you somebody. He'll bring that thing down just like that. Pride go below fall. You, hey, go ahead, be proud and ignore him and live any old way you want to, claiming to be a Christian. He'll put you someplace where you'll have to repent. But thank God he won't cast you off in hell because he's promised to save you. I'm telling you something, I don't fear hell, but I fear God. And I fear his chastening. I told you how my mom used to whip me. I didn't like you. I feared that. I didn't have a daddy. But here's the way it was. I feared it so much, I lied to her. Did you do that? No, ma'am. Who did that? I don't know. If we ever find out that fellow name, I don't know, we'll have a lot of whipping going on. I don't know who did that. Because I feared whipping. You kids, look at me. If you don't fear whipping, maybe I ought not say, you're dumb as a box of rocks. You crippled too high for crutches. You need some help. The only reason I can see you wouldn't fear whippings is because you ain't never had one. Amen? And I'm available. If any of you parents scared to whip your children, I'm available. If you're scared to do it, I'm not scared to do it. I got to... I told a little boy in here one day, he said, well, I take medicine, I'm ADD. I said, I got your medicine right here. You'll sit down and shut up if you ever get a whipping, amen? You ever been sent to the principal's office? I mean the real principal, not like they got them now. Sit in this chair, we're gonna work with you, and we're going to help you through your troubles and your... There's something wrong, and we want to help you with it. Not the one I went to. She said, you stand over in that corner, I'm going to get my strap, I'll be right back. She helped me with my troubles. Some of y'all parents need to learn that again. If they don't fear you, they're not going to obey you. After I got older, my mama was that tall, and I was this tall, and I didn't obey her because I didn't fear her because she couldn't hurt me no more. Christians, you better not ever get to the point where you don't fear God anymore. Because he don't get so old he can't hurt you. And he will. He won't enjoy it. I used to whip my kids, all but Becky, of course. I used to whip my kids. I'm telling you, sure, you didn't have to whip Becky. Just look at her like that and she'd start crying. Just break her little heart. She had a tender heart. But look, you've got to fear something or you will do wrong. Some of you didn't have enough fear, so you got hooked on drugs. Come, help me here. Some of you didn't fear alcohol enough, so you became a drunk. Some of you didn't fear divorce enough, so you got a divorce. Help me. You know, I never did. I grew up in the age when they invented illegal drugs. I mean, I was born in 54. I grew up in the 60s. And listen to this. I remember the first marijuana cigarette and the first drugs coming into Lancaster. I was there when that. And I remember people sitting around in circles doing drugs. I was there. I didn't do it. You know why I didn't do it? It wasn't because I was against them doing it. It's this. I knew if I ever did it, I'd never quit. I know me. I knew if I smoked pot, I'd go on and do something else, and I'd go on and do something else. I knew if I dropped acid, and everybody did when I was a kid. It wasn't even against the law when we were kids. Nobody ever heard of it. And I knew if I did it one time, I'd get hooked on it just like my friends did. And I knew if I ever did cocaine, I'd get hooked on it just like my friends did. And I saw them destroy their lives. And I said, I'm scared to do that because I'm afraid I'm going to end up like that. There's a lot of things that fear keeps us from. And fear, as a Christian, it'll keep us from sin. I'm scared. I feel sin. God help me. I don't do what I used to do. Amen. Thank God I don't do what I used to do. I'm a different man. But I still have sin. I mean, he didn't know it do good and doeth it not. To him, it's sin. Sometimes I know ought to do something. I don't do it. Y'all still with me? You don't have to get drunk to be a sinner. There's lots of sin. I look things. I think things. Amen. Come on. I've said things. Come on, help me. But the only thing that keeps us under control is the fear of God and the chastening of God. I don't like it. He's put me on my face out in the woods somewhere before screaming and crying. So where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? So as Christians, we don't trample the blood of Jesus Christ. When we do sin, he says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We fall on our face. We say, God, I that's not me. That's not what I want to be anymore. I'm a different person. God, forgive me. And we get forgiveness instead of chastisement. Did you know Psalm 40, and I done went way over time, and I'm skipping some. Psalm 40. I wish nobody had a watch. I don't have a watch. I got a phone I can't halfway use. By the way, if you call me, my voicemail's broke. I've been trying for 2 weeks to get somebody to set it up. I even went out to the store and the boy lied to me. He said, here it is. It's fixed. Get out of here. It still ain't fixed. So you'll have to call me at home or either send me a text. I can't get your voicemail. Look at Psalm 40, if you will. Look at verse 2 and 3. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Look at this. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Look at this. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Did you know that God is so good to sinners that when they accept Him as their Savior, that God will give you a new life, a new song, a new name, a new mind, a new spirit. Everything becomes new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And God's good to old sinners that receive His Son. Amen? And did you know when others see that in you, son, you know what they're going to do? You just got saved. You know what they're going to do? They're going to fear God, not you. They're not going to fear you. You ain't nobody. I'm nobody. But they're going to fear it. Now, they'll blame it on you. But they're going to fear the God that you now know and that walks with you and talks with you and He gives you His Word and His power and His presence. They're going to fear that in you. And did you know it's going to draw some of them to repentance? Did you know the Bible even says some of them's going to ask you what the hope is that's within you? Well, you're a Christian. Tell me about this. Or you got saved. What happened? Or I need some help. I understand you're a praying woman. What's going on here? Now, the fear, they're going to fear God, so they're going to come to you because they see the goodness of God in you and the power of God in you. And then last but not least, listen. God ought to be feared by the sinner that rejects Him. Proverbs 1:24. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've set a naught all my counsel. That means you set it aside. It ain't no good. And with none of my reproof, I tried to straighten you out. You wouldn't let me. I also will laugh at your calamity. Whoa! That ain't what Joel Osteen said today. I also will laugh at your calamity, your trouble. Sin will get you in trouble. You reject the grace of God, and He'll laugh at your trouble. I will mock when your fear cometh, because it's coming too late. Today's the day of salvation. He said, you keep on waiting. There's coming a day I'm going to laugh at your problems. And I'll mock you when that fear comes. You can't sleep at night and you have to go get drunk to get anything. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Amen. Perverts saying, we go to church, we're going to pray for you. Liars and crooks and thieves in office saying, we're going to have prayer about this. Let me tell you something. People that don't fear the Lord, God doesn't hear that prayer. And there's coming a day when He's just going to stop listening to you altogether. Now, He waits today for that prayer of repentance. God be merciful unto me, a sinner, and Lord Jesus, save me. But one day, His patience will wear out. And then you'll be down at the cemetery over at the hospital somewhere praying for somebody sick or somebody dying or maybe your own self, and God will laugh and He'll say, ain't no need to call me. I called you and you didn't answer. I ain't ever heard that. Well, that's the Bible. And that'll cause you to fear God. I'm scared of God. I love Him. He's my Heavenly Father. But I'm going to tell you something. When I come in His presence, I come humbly and lowly. And I never say, God, look how good I am. I say, God, I'm sorry. I ain't better. I ought to be better, God. If you're not saved today, today He's calling you. And He's going to say, now today is the day of salvation. If you want to be saved, you come. But let me warn you about something. If you don't fear me, you're not going to come. And one day, you're going to fear me. It's going to be too late. Now, if you're a saint, you know, and you have the will of God, He says, now you come today. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And I want you to come to me today, get this right. But if you don't get this right in your life, I'll fix it for you. You ever heard your mom or dad say that? I'll fix you. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant, inspiration.